Welcome to this episode of the United Nations of Horror, where today we'll be discussing Star Wars The Force Awakens. Although this isn't strictly a horror film, we believe that it transcends genre, and we want to talk about it. I'm Mark from Leicestershire, England, and I'm joined by...
I'm Mike Annarino from Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Dia from Düsseldorf, Germany.
Okay, first things first, how many times have you seen it, Mike?
I've seen it 3 times.
3 times. And Dia?
I've seen it 3 times also. I wanted to see it the 4th time last Monday, but my back, was bad.
Oh, okay. I'm behind you guys. I've seen it twice. I think for our first few minutes, we'll just discuss our general thoughts on it without spoilers, and then we're going to get into spoilers pretty quickly. But for now, it's non-spoilers. Dear, give us your general impressions and your thoughts on this.
Okay, wow. It was really great for me because I'm a fan from day one. I was in the German theatrical release in 1978 when I was 16. And I was a big, big, big Star Wars fan. Was in the Star Wars club over here named German Jedis. Because back then we thought the plural of Jedi is Jedis. And I was very active there. And up to 1985, my life was more or less Star Wars. I saw the prequels, I saw the special editions, but nothing had the Star Wars feeling for me. And so when I went to see the movie in Tuesday, the 15th of December, I was very scared, but the first shot got me in, and I think it's the best Star Wars movie since Empire Strikes Back.
Wow, yes. Mike, what's your general thoughts on this one?
I think it's incredible spectacle. I'd agree it is the best one since Empire Strikes Back. It's probably my second favorite Star Wars movie. I think it's really exciting. It's on a technical level, it's absolutely amazing. It's funny. I just wish it had some deeper stuff in it. Obviously, I'm going to go into details later on that, but I had problems with certain characters and certain plot points. I thought some things were just borrowed a little bit too much from the original trilogy, some really big plot points. But overall, I think it's a great first chapter. I'm really excited to see where the series goes next. And yeah, overall, despite my big problems with it, every time I watch it, I find myself loving it more and more. I think it's a really great action movie.
Yeah.
And for myself, I kind of agree with Dia, really. I do think this is the best Star Wars film since Empire Strikes Back. And I really do like Return of the Jedi. I'm a big fan of Return of the Jedi, but I like this film better, actually. I noticed some things in the second watch that... I felt added to the depth of the story. Mm-hmm. And I think the more times you see it, the more little things you see in there that kind of help you piece together what the whole story may be. You know, they may be misleading, but there's a lot of clever stuff. But even just for a first watch, it was a really grand, exhilarating watch. And I went to a midnight showing. And usually when I go to midnight shows, I'm kind of really exhausted by the end, but not with this one. I was wide awake and loving it from beginning to end, actually. So I think it's a great film and people should go see it. Okay, I think that's enough of the non-spoiler talk. So I think, go see it. Go see it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And then absolutely. Come back and listen to the rest.
What are you doing listening to podcasts?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's get into spoiler territory.
Who are you?
I'm no one.
To do one thing, but I've got nothing to fight for.
Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it.
The dark side. A Jedi.
It's calling to you. Just let it in.
How do you want to take this, guys? Whenever I review films like this, I always kind of start with a negative because I never like to end with a negative. Mm-hmm. So is that a reasonable way? Should we talk about what we didn't like first?
No problem.
Sure.
Okay, dear. What were there any particular issues or scenes or characters that you had issue with?
Okay, it's a little bit early, but the only thing I really didn't like from the movie was Han Solo's death. I'm such a big Solo fan from 1978. It was a real shocker for me. And the next 2 minutes from my first screening, I couldn't see anything.
Wow.
That's the only negative I have.
Mike?
Okay, I've got some pretty big issues. Despite I really like the movie a lot, and I will say one of my problems was that Han Solo death scene, but for a different reason. I'm a huge Han Solo fan. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and I felt like that whole sequence, they made it so predictable that I really didn't feel anything. Like, every time I see it, the audience doesn't really react in a certain way because you see it coming from a mile away. The way the scene is set up, it's almost like a jump scare in the way where the movie goes completely quiet for what seems like forever, and then it happens.
I have to say, I think we discussed this before we started talking. Certainly you and I did, Mike, about we went in without it being spoiled. We hadn't suffered from spoilers, so apart from a few trailers, I've avoided everything. And when I was watching it, I was thinking, this looks like someone's gonna die, but then it looked like he wasn't, and so in fact it did come as a surprise to me. It did, even though it was kind of obvious in the sound, because I felt like we were being played a bit, you know.
It's a Star Wars movie. Somebody has to die at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
So, Mike, sorry I interrupted you. Please go on.
Oh no, that's I really want to discuss these issues I have with it. So that's awesome. Another thing I really had was that some of the characters I thought were written pretty thinly. For a first chapter, I think that's okay with certain characters. Mm-hmm. Like for Finn, for Rey. I was cool with that. I thought I could have used a little bit more, but they gave me enough to where I like her character. I can get with her journey, and I want to see where she goes in the next one. Exactly. Finn, on the other hand, I like his character. I really just thought that I didn't feel for his motivations. I didn't get a sense of who he was. He says that he got captured at a young age to become a stormtrooper. I never really got a sense of that. I never felt that. I think they could have fleshed that out more. I hope they do in a sequel. I would like to see that, but for this film, I think I could have needed that. This film spent too much time setting stuff up, and so in that, it didn't really flesh enough out. It's a really good pilot episode, but I gotta wait 2 years for the next episode, and that's kind of one of the big issues I had with it.
One and a half year. 1.5 years.
Oh, that's
years.
True.
Yes, yeah? 1.5 years.
That's true.
Today's the news came.
Right, right. Because I thought we were getting one every December, but that's right. Episode 8's in, I think, like May 26th?
Yeah, 40th anniversary of Star Wars.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, one day later, but it's around the 40th anniversary.
Picking up what you just said, Mike, I kind of agree. I enjoyed the film, and I really, the bad aspects of it are kind of, you know what it's like when you really enjoy a film, you don't really care about the flaws that much.
Yeah.
However, if they announce there's an extended edition of this on Blu-ray,
great.
It delivers the bits we didn't see, that would be fantastic.
The movie could have run an hour longer.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I felt actually, I mean, there's a bit made about how much fan service it pays and takes time for that. I could have done with a bit more, frankly.
Yeah. And the fan service criticism, I watched Creed today, and Creed is nothing else but fan service. And when it hasn't fan service, it's a bad movie.
Right. Okay, well, the thing is, when you've got a really solid thing to pace out fan service to, that kind of is always good, in my opinion. You know, Rocky's a great series, so if it's fan service to Rocky, I'm fine with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like, I don't have, my issues with it reflecting the original films aren't as much fan service. I just hated the idea that we have this villain, and we get another giant space cannon, and just like Return of the Jedi, okay, we got to send the good guys down to ground level, go into the compound, take down the shield, the flyboys come in, blow it up, and then we ride off into the sunset. And that whole third act really bothered me in that sense. It's like, oh, guys, really, did we need another Death Star? We've got three movies with Death Stars now. I mean, it was just a bit too much for me. And the whole idea of the Starkiller base, it really made no sense to me. The whole structure, the whole creation of it, just I didn't. It takes the power from the sun, but I mean, but if you use the sun, and then it's completely useless. It just didn't. It seemed really thought out to me.
Yeah, I was thinking, does this planet move? And it must move because, like, otherwise it's a one-shot weapon, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
You have to build it secretly on the moon. And
yeah.
It's a series of 40 science fiction, the Starkiller base. I think it's okay in this way.
Yeah, I also think the Starkiller base has been. I mean, I don't want to get too much into the extended universe, but I'm sure I heard about a Starkiller base in the Star Wars extended universe maybe a year ago. I haven't read it myself, but...
I read about it, but never read the books.
Right.
Not my way. Star Wars.
So it sounds like there was a Sorry, Mike, have you got any other issues?
Let me...
Well, let me take this list.
I could tell you, I could certainly part give one out, and we could come back to you about other issues. How about that?
I just want to say one more thing, and then we can move on for me.
Okay.
I didn't think another moment I should have felt something was the reunion with Han Solo and Leia, and I really didn't feel anything. I really thought Leia was a completely wasted character here. I didn't think she really had anything to do, and I felt nothing in her presence. She could have been completely out of this movie, and I probably would have felt more than her actually being in it, which is a shame, which I hate saying that because I love the character of Leia, but I thought she was really, really underwritten here.
Yeah, but I think an answer to that might be she's kind of sometimes underwritten in some of the earlier films a little. Well, actually, maybe not. I actually kind of, one of my issues is kind of related to that, which is I felt Carrie Fisher didn't deliver a decent performance in this, although she didn't have much to do.
She's no actress anymore.
No, she's really not. However, I was quite touched. There was one scene between Han and Leia where I was touched was when she just put her head against his chest and he hugged her. I thought that was quite touching.
The farewell scene.
Say again?
It was a farewell scene.
Yes.
Last.
Yeah, I thought that was quite touching. It just looked good as well. You know, it just I felt something. But you're quite right. The initial reunion. I mean, compare it to, say, when Han Solo and Chewbacca come onto the Millennium Falcon. That's a great. That feels great. Whereas the meeting between Leia and Han doesn't really. There's no real feeling in it, is there? Let's move to the positive. Sorry, Mike. Did you have any?
One more.
Yeah, go.
The character of Kylo Ren, I really like that character, and I really love the idea of a conflicted kind of trainee Sith. I think that's really cool because the First Order is still in its infancy. This isn't the Empire, and so kind of see him be more vulnerable. He doesn't have a vulnerable Sith to me is really cool because we haven't seen it before. But I thought there was an imbalance there. In the first act, we establish, he says, I'm struggling between the dark and the light. And I thought that should have been more present throughout, because I thought the first two thirds, he was cool and doing all this awesome force stuff. And then in the last act, it felt like he was completely incapable. And while I like the idea of a conflicted Sith, I just thought it should have been more present in those first two thirds so that I buy that in the third act, especially with Rey becoming more powerful.
But his rage bursts were in the first half, and I think anybody who uses a lightsaber to kill some computers may be very conflicted.
Well, my problem wasn't that we saw that he was conflicted. I felt just in the first two thirds, I didn't want to see him like fucking up. I didn't want to see him bumbling, but I wanted to feel like the line that Supreme Leader Snoke has later on about him still being in training, maybe that's something we could have gotten earlier, because I never got the sense that he was a trainee. And I think that having happened early on, I just felt like it would have worked better. So more stuff at the end with him kind of, especially him like losing out to Finn in a lightsaber battle, kind of just would have worked better in a way.
I thought he was the best Anakin Skywalker we got in the last years.
You know what? I'll agree with you there. I think Ren is exactly who Anakin should have been in the prequels.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
That yes, I completely agree with.
I would have believed Ren killing younglings in Rage.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it from Anakin, or especially Hayden Christensen, who is just a painting, I think.
Yeah,
that's the thing. People are saying Kylo Ren was whiny. No, Anakin Skywalker was whiny. Yes. I didn't think Ren was whiny.
Ren was conflicted. Ren was a psychopath. Or is a psychopath.
Right.
I like the fact that... basically, because he's in a universe alone in terms of, him being the sort of the master of the Force within this universe, he had no challenges. So that was fine. And I think Snoke deliberately didn't train him up because he didn't need to. I was trying to work out if it's... For a start, the word Sith isn't used in this, so I don't know if these are dark Jedis or Siths or whatever they are.
That's true.
But if they are Siths, sometimes the Master Sith will not want the less senior Sith to be too powerful, because at some point one kills, the apprentice will kill the master. So Snoke keeps his power by not having him trained up.
And you see how powerful Ben or Ren is, because he even can stop a laser blast in the air. No dark or light Jedi has ever done this.
Yes, there's certain he's got certain attributes of his Force powers that seem a bit different from anything else we've seen, which I thought was kind of interesting. But in many ways, he's still a junior.
Superhero.
And it made me wonder, does some sort of different Jedis have different power? So, maybe he's not that good on the lightsaber compared to, other Jedis.
Earlier
Jedis. whereas he's got the ability to stop lasers, maybe there's different things. I mean, I don't know if we're imposing, if I'm imposing a richness on the film that isn't there. But I kind of saw that in it. And it may be because I just like the film. I'm looking for, to the positives. Okay, let's get on to the positives then.
Finally. I love the Falcon. I love the Falcon. The Falcon was always the best character in the Star Wars movies for me, and in this movie, the Falcon is a star.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was. To be honest, when I watched this the first time, I was grinning most of the way through, but I don't think I grinned. I think my biggest grin was when we see the Falcon first take off.
Yes.
It was just so great to see it.
Yeah.
Even the press applauded. That scene.
Nice.
To see the Falcon and they're losing it. It's fantastic.
I like the way the Falcon was handled in that first scene. Really reminded me a lot of the asteroid scene in Empire, in terms of the way it moved. It just felt, that's exactly what the Falcon should look like. It was kind of really cool.
That's what the Falcon is constructed for.
Yes.
Or tuned for. Tuned, not constructed.
Yes.
It was constructed as a freighter.
And also
like a freighter.
The first time I saw the film, I didn't notice them run past the Falcon when I was talking about, what about that ship? I noticed it the second time I saw the film, but the first time it just shot past so fast I didn't notice it. So it
was really?
A pleasure to see it. The second viewing was great.
Yeah.
Okay, we've obviously got some new characters. We've got Rey, we've got Finn, we've got Poe, we've got BB-8.
Poe's great.
All great characters, in my opinion. BB-8 in particular, I think, worked really well. That whole head movement thing it was kind of almost reminded me a bit of Wally in terms of
it was the most Disney character in the Star Wars saga.
Yes, it was very Wally, but in a good way. Taking the best bits of that. Rey, I really like Daisy Ridley in this.
Yeah.
She's great, yeah.
And there's so much to do with the character in the next parts.
There is. There's a lot going on, suggested quite heavily in like the musical motifs and like what's going on, some of the scenes and stuff like that.
She has a Skywalker scene musically.
Yes, she had a lot of the Skywalker motif played whenever she was a lot, especially when she had her quiet moments.
And the fourth theme, and she's the next Jedi.
Who do you think she's related to? What's your opinions?
I think the expected thing is Luke, but maybe they won't go that route.
What should they do? Luke is the last Jedi, or Leia, and I don't think Leia was fooling around.
No.
Solo.
The other possibility is she may be the daughter of Leia and Han. That's another possibility.
And both of them didn't recognize their daughter?
Yeah, I don't think it is that.
I don't buy that.
It certainly is looking, the whole script, the musical motifs, the fact that, the lady said something like, it belonged to Luke's father, it belonged to Luke, and now it comes to you, it's like, oh yeah.
It's all set up for her to be Luke's daughter, which, hey, I'm cool with.
Yeah, but we've got an interesting backstory of how she, she got into that situation. She's also, one thing not pointed out, but it's kind of obvious, she's a great pilot, which again is a Skywalker trait. So
just in her.
Yes. I like Finn as well. I think I thought the acting was excellent, actually, it was underwritten. It certainly was. But, a lot of Star Wars, if you go back to A New Hope, a lot of that is quite underwritten as well, actually.
Yeah. Exactly.
But we forget that because we filled it all in.
You never get anything on backstory on Han Solo in the original trilogy or on Skywalker.
Yes.
They have no past.
And Luke, we see Luke. There's, in A New Hope, Luke gets like one or two days of training, and then he says to Han, "So you don't believe in the Force, do you?" Like, that is silly if you like step back and think about it, but we're so used to it that it's fine. We've filled in all those spaces, and I think this film will eventually get all its... We'll just mentally fill in all the blanks, and it'll be fine, and we'll understand exactly what's going on. I just think it'll be that way. Another new character is Poe. Interesting. He's kind of the new Han Solo character,
absolutely from the first sentence on. Who is talking first, you or me? It's absolutely Solo in every scene.
One other interesting thing that kind of, you know, because in the sweeper story you forget it, is the fact is Luke Skywalker's presence is known by an old man who's also on Jakku, you know, the planet of Rey, who knows Luke's location, or he's got information about Luke's location, which again, I think, to me, points to Luke has left his daughter there. He's left someone to possibly watch over her from a distance, and also a way to contact him if he needs to be contacted. So that, you know, I'm surmising, but it's kind of, you know, Max von Sydow seemed to be kind of the Ben Kenobi character in this, in terms of Ben Kenobi in A New Hope. That's how it felt to me, anyway.
Interesting enough that you can interpret such things into the movie. You have the room. It's not that everything is explained to you. You have to improve on the movie. You can think about it. You can think the backstories into it, and everything fits.
Indeed. I mean, you know, that sometimes you could say about a movie, oh, well, it's very underwritten and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But some of the best films are deliberately not abstract, but they're written in such a way as is ambiguous to the meanings, and you don't quite understand the relationships between people, and you could interpret that as a great piece of art, because you could impose your own, you know, you could you could impose your own views on it. However, you know, we all know this is a Disney film, and it's got that, you know, they're trying to make a pleasing... Disney are famous for trying to satisfy families and, you know, the audience and stuff like that. And they're kind of, that's fine as far as I'm concerned. Can I ask, what was your very favourite bits in this film? Dia, you first.
The first shot was one of my favourite. This Star Destroyer coming out of the shadow, and I think you can interpret it as the movie coming out of the shadow of the prequels.
I remember seeing that. I felt it was like a really interesting take on the usual Star Wars way of, you know, showing the ship. They just did it in a different way. It's cool.
It's as iconic as the original Star Wars opening in my mind.
It was a good opening, yes.
Yeah. I have to agree. And it was a shadow, a big shadow, and then something came out of the shadow, and we have now a movie which came out of the shadow of bad prequels. And now I call them bad.
Yes. Mike, what was your favorite scene or part?
My favorite thing about this film are the spaceship battles. I think those are the highlight of the film. I've seen it in IMAX 3D every time I've seen it. Oh yeah, man, those spaceships flying. Oh yeah, like I'm ducking and dodging, and it's just, it looks gorgeous, it moves fast, and it's edited in a way that just excites me every time I watch it. That's when I turned most into a kid. It was during those like flight sequences. I thought those were so cool. I make fun of the third act for being too much like Return of the Jedi, but man, I'll shut the hell up whenever they cut back to the spaceships, because that was awesome. That was badass.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
And you hurt me so bad. The next IMAX is 600 kilometers from me
Oh, we got one 5 minutes away from me.
Yeah, okay. I'm coming over.
Yeah, I think that's farther than your... I think coming to my IMAX is farther than yours.
But would be a lot more fun.
That's true.
I have to say, most of my favourite shots did involve fighters. And in fact, my very favourite shot was, there was a scene of three TIE fighters flying with the sun behind them. It was Apocalypse Now, really. But right. it was just fantastic. I thought, I've got to get a print of that and put it on my wall. That was my first thought.
Another great shot I only got at the second and third viewing is when Finn is in the village and the attack is going all around him in what's the name of this this big-eyed lady?
Yeah, I can't remember her name.
Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata, in this area when the attack happens. You can follow Poe Dameron's X-Wing through the whole scene, fighting three or four TIE fighters and always being in the shot while you still watching Finn watching this. It's so great.
Yes, that was a nice piece of filmmaking indeed. I'm not quite sure if J.J. Abrams is signed up for number 8. Would you guys know?
No, it's Rian Johnson.
Rian Johnson will do it.
Rian Johnson, right, okay.
Rian, what has he done, Johnson?
I don't know.
He did Looper, The Brothers Bloom, Brick. He's done some really good stuff.
Yeah.
He's not an action director. Mind you, having said that, there's been some great action films come out by people you just don't expect. It's who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows for sure? Disney don't pick fools. I'm pretty sure they would pick someone who just wasn't up to it, but
yeah,
there must be something.
I'm really excited about what I'm most excited about this whole new age of Star Wars is that each film we have set up is directed by somebody new. And I think that's that's going to be such a cool breeding ground for creativity.
It's also fan service.
Different tastes in each film. Awesome.
The first trilogy was directed by different persons.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why each film works, but as a whole, but there's little things to each one. There's different kind of looks here and there that do set it apart from those and make it unique to that director, which is what I love. I think that's really cool.
In terms of look and feel, this did remind me of Empire quite a bit, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was more the Millennium Falcon stuff than anything, actually.
It's also because it has no ending.
Yes.
It's the only movie that has no ending since Empire.
That's a good point. One I hadn't considered.
Nothing really does get kind of resolved.
Really? You have no happy end.
Let's speculate. Let's go into some speculation here. What do you think is going to happen in the next part?
I think Rey will get her Jedi training, probably. I think Leia will go hunting for Kylo Ren. And I think Chewie will have to suffer.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think the actor Peter Mayhew will do another two movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to see how Chewie's going. If Rey's off doing Jedi training, it's hard to see what Chewie will then do in terms of this series.
Chewie could be a great red herring for the next movie. So I think they will get him on a strange search for Kylo or something, and she will suffer.
Like a revenge Western kind of thing.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time that Chewie has really had an arc. They've set up an arc for him, and that's, like, really kind of cool, I think. I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, I think props to Peter Mayhew. Chewie really... You've really felt that was Chewie you were watching.
Yep.
You know, acting, the sort of approach was all exactly the same as the original series, which is fantastic. And of course, Han Solo was the same too, which was great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Harrison Ford never lost a beat. It feels like he just did Return of the Jedi yesterday. I mean, he's pitch perfect. He's got some of the best Han Solo moments in this. He was great.
Stop. It's not Han Solo from Return of the Jedi. It's Han Solo from Empire and Star Wars we see here. So Han Solo from Jedi is, hey, it's me. It's not Solo.
It's okay, I'll give you guy, that.
Yeah, good point. Solo. Fair point.
That's true.
He was terrific. But it sounds like we're all expecting this part 7 was kind of a remake of A New Hope. We're all expecting part 8 to kind of be a remake of Empire to some degree.
I really hope, because the thing with this, yeah, it's like it's fine having similarities to New Hope in the same way that superhero origin stories reflect each other. We're like, okay, this first film, it's going to kind of be reminiscent of other stuff, but you're getting in here, you're establishing your own. Now in the sequel, may work with what you've set up. And I think that's I want to see in the next one. I really want to see it go in its own natural way. I don't want to see it too much resemble Empire Strikes Back. This one does resemble A New Hope, and that's fine, but now it's finally established us. It had to reestablish us, and it's done that, so let's move from here.
Indeed. In some respects, there's a lot of unknowns about this film still. Obviously, we don't know that much about the First Order and Snoke. But I can kind of definitely see Kylo Ren really wanting to get to Skywalker. Now he's got a thing with Rey as well. You know, he's fought Rey and know that he couldn't beat her. And so that's going to be driving Kylo Ren as well. And probably Snoke.
And about the feeling like a remake of Star Wars thing. JJ had no other chance to do this movie. You had to reboot something. You had to bring it to a new audience. It's not us who he makes his money from.
Yeah, that's right. Another thing I kind of liked was the whole approach with the First Order. Now in Empire, in the original movies, the Empire was quite well established and mature. Mm-hmm. So the stormtroopers were much more like a sort of standing army. Whereas First Order did come across, certainly in one of the speeches from General Hux, it felt much more like a fanatical army. Does that make sense?
I thought that speech was bad.
You didn't like that?
I hated that scene.
It felt
generally the Harry Potter guy wasn't so great.
Yeah, which I will say I really didn't like him or his character. I thought his acting was pretty bad on the whole, somebody described it to me yesterday. They said what they liked about it was that the relationship between him and Kylo Ren was almost like him, Kylo, and Snoke was like two siblings trying to vie for their father's attention. And that I actually kind of like that in a sense. I like that because, as I said earlier, First Order is still in its infancy, so these are kind of still the young guys. They don't really have that much experience. He's a less experienced Peter Cushing in a way. He was written as the Peter Cushing character, but he's still kind of making it into his own. I still don't think he's a great character, but I do like that dynamic. I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting, and I raised the point about, you know, we should use a clone army, which he sort of rankled out, and it's like, it got me wondering, why don't they use a clone army, and there must be some reasoning behind that.
clones couldn't hit an elephant.
Exactly.
They needed someone who can shoot.
Right. So, any thoughts on Snoke?
He was a great effect. He was a great special effect, and I thought a cool kind of Phantom Menace in a sense.
He was a reminiscent of the early Empire from Emperor from Empire. From Empire. Okay.
Yeah, the one that was in there before the new editions.
Yeah,
indeed.
I never saw the special edition since the cinema.
Right.
I never wanted to see
it. I do remember. This is really going back, but I do remember when I first saw Empire and we saw that Emperor, I remember thinking quite distinctly, he sounds an awful lot like Ben Kenobi. Mm-hmm. And I was like thinking, is he meant to be a clone or, you know, a dark clone of... Yeah, but, you know, that never got discussed anywhere, and I kind of forgot about it. But I do remember thinking he sounds like Ben Kenobi.
It got discussed in 1980 and 1981.
Yeah.
Back then, with us fans, we discussed this. You can believe it.
yeah, it's interesting to know what Snoke is in terms of this. Is he like Plagueis, or is he, you know, some other?
I think Snoke will be a big surprise in the next movie.
Oh, really?
They hold him. They kept him so little to do that he had nothing to do, really, in this movie. And when we finally will see him, I think he will be very, very important.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Cool. Now, the next, I mean, Rogue One's coming out next year, isn't it? Are you guys keen to see that?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Exactly. It sounds like a really cool sort of men on a mission kind of movie in the Star Wars universe. It does sound cool. What other sort of side calls would you like to see? I mean, would you like to see, I don't know, some Boba Fett story or young Han Solo?
Not Boba Fett again.
Really? Oh, I would like to see, because I know they're doing the Han Solo movie, I'd like to see Boba Fett, or at least have Boba Fett have his own movie, because I thought he's set up really cool in Empire, and then they just totally just get rid of that in Return of the Jedi.
Throwing him away.
I mean, Han Solo accidentally shoots him in the back, and then he gets eaten. It was like, really? Come on, please make that character cool again.
So stupid.
I think I remember literally remember the feeling of pulling the what the hell face in the cinema when that happened. It was very disappointing that he just went out like that. It would be kind of I personally would love to see Boba Fett in a sort of 18 rated movie, but that's Disney are never going to do that. But it would be cool to have a bit harder edge Star Wars stuff as well, but you know that's not going to happen, so fair enough.
Well, I know right now for years they were trying to do the video game 1313, which was a more mature Star Wars game, and I believe you were, I want to say you did play as Boba Fett and you were a bounty hunter doing like all this like dark bounty hunter shit, and I think Disney said that recently they're trying to get that off the ground again, which would be really cool. I think that'd be awesome.
It will be cool, yes. But to you know, Rogue One's only going to be a sort of filler for me until Episode 8 comes out. Frankly,
I don't know. A spy movie could be interesting in the Star Wars.
I definitely
want
to see it. I'm psyched to see Rogue One, but I'm really psyched to see.
It's made by the Godzilla and Monsters director, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah, what's his name?
Gareth Edwards?
Gareth Edwards. So we will get to see 45 minutes of preparation and 3 minutes of action.
Right.
Oh my God. Not again.
See, that's another reason I like that Disney is getting all these different kind of directors for these different spin-off movies. I like the idea that it's like we get a cool director and say, what would you do for a Star Wars spin-off movie? And that's what doing kind of like a heist spy movie for like a prequel for your next Star Wars movie isn't really, you'd think you want to do Episode 8 next and then start doing stuff after that, but I like the idea that we're getting some really fresh stuff right off the bat. I think that's kind of cool.
If I had to choose a director to do one of the Star Wars spin-off movies, I'd really like it to be the director of The Raid, or possibly the director of Dread, you know, one of those guys, you know, do intense action. That would be pretty damn cool.
It would be also interesting to see a, let's say, horror-style movie in the Star Wars universe. We have enough monsters and fantasy elements to put something in this way.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I haven't read much of extended universe stuff, but I do remember reading a zombie Star Wars called, I think it was called Dark Troopers or something.
Death Troopers.
That's it, with Han Solo cropping up and Chewie. That was kind of fun, but I don't think it made a good film, to be honest.
Right,
but it's a big universe.
Yes,
everything indeed is possible, and now with Disney in the helm, we will see some very interesting stuff, I think.
Yes, I think so too. I think they're going to be probably making twice the money back that they spent on this in the next couple of films, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really hoping this one beats Avatar, because something needs to be Avatar, the highest grossing film of all time.
I hated Avatar from the first day I saw it.
Yeah, not a fan.
I still like Avatar.
I don't know. It's a boring movie.
It's a kind of sci-fi adventure that I like. I like kind of being introduced to these new worlds, and I thought it was kind of cool. Bad writing, though. I'll give you that. The script is terrible.
The first half was okay, but the fight scene at the end, there's a whole hour of shooting and always against a tree, and it was boring. I didn't need it, action scenes.
It was not my favorite at all. But I just want Star Wars to just top it now. It really, something needs to top it. It did make me laugh. I have to say, during the summer when Jurassic World beat, took the highest grossing week or whatever it was. Yeah. I remember sitting there thinking with great satisfaction, that's sweet. Just wait till Star Wars comes out. that's how it's turned out. So I'm pleased about that.
That was 6 months ago, and I'm still like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I still don't, I'm still confused.
Exactly. Who knows? Exactly. Who knows? Dinosaurs. Kids love dinosaurs.
I guess.
But I'm hoping kids love Star Wars even more.
The interesting part is now all the critics are talking about Star Wars being a fan service and a remake. And if you see a movie like Jurassic Park, that's Jurassic World, that's absolutely the same movie as Jurassic Park.
Mm. Indeed.
Beat to beat. There's nothing new.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, I think we'll, if it's all right with you guys, I think we'll kind of wind up there. Any last thoughts or anything you want to say about
Force
Awakens?
I got two more things I want to say.
Okay, go ahead.
I just want to say the John Williams score, I feel like with each of the trilogies, he's able to bring in some of the same, but make it completely different at the same time. And I thought he totally did that here. His score is everything I wanted and more.
It's such a great score. I'm a big soundtrack fan, and even before Star Wars came out, and this score is perhaps the most sophisticated score of all the Star Wars movies. It's not easy to get in. If you listen to it at a total letting run it through, it's not easy, but it's very rewarding to listen to it.
I was paying attention when I wasn't really swept up. The film really swept me up, so I wasn't paying attention to much of the sort of fine detail. But the moments when I did sort of try and sort of back out a bit and try and pay attention to things like the sound and the music, I thought it was beautifully placed, absolutely perfect. Which is one of the reasons you don't notice it, because it's so well done. Compliments what's going on the screen.
A good score you never realize in the when watching the movie for the first or second time.
Yes, but bits of it definitely reminded me of A New Hope. Watching A New Hope, and there's some beautiful musical placement in that too. And this was great. I really and part of the music and the sound and the shooting thing I really liked that I haven't mentioned yet is when we see Rey try to sort of become serene, to use her Jedi skill, use the Force, and everything. Those scenes were really well done. You really understood what was going on with Rey. I thought it was really good, and the music sort of added into that too.
It's probably the best score Williams did since the early 90s.
It was, well, I really do like some of the scoring in the prequels, actually.
Yeah, but that's...
I love the music there, yeah.
Yeah, but the prequels had, let's say, popular music. It was more...
The duel in of the fates, in particular, in Phantom Menace, is a fantastic piece of music.
Great piece of music, but it's MTV compatible.
I don't think I agree with that. I think it's a great.
They even brought us a maxi CD of the theme. And this time you have really interesting, let's say, symphonic work, even without the movie.
This film is very. I think the scoring is quite subtle and very fine. Very fine.
Yeah, that's what takes it apart. From the prequels. The prequel music is more loud and bombastic and epic, which I dig, but I really appreciated more the quieter side here. It's more helps the story along rather than really try to pull those emotions out of you and force you to make you feel something. Like, that's one of the reasons I hated a John Williams score for that movie War Horse. It was like, okay.
It was slimy.
Okay, I get it. I'm supposed to feel like John Williams was like, no, feel sadder. It's like, no, here it really helps the story.
Which goes well sometimes with Spielberg.
And so I thought it did its job very well.
Yeah, I mean, Spielberg's films have that style anyway as well, don't they? So it's kind of, you're feeling it's a bit engineered to, you know, you will feel this way. All right, overall, I can't remember where we were now. Did you have any final thoughts there?
The final thought is I wanted to see the movie on Monday. I wanted to see it on Tuesday and Wednesday. But I only can see it next Monday, the next time. It's hard to wait.
Oh, well, it just makes the wait makes it an even greater pleasure.
I hope.
That's
I
all
hope.
You can say. I'm also looking forward to the Blu-ray, and I really hope there's extended version. I really do. That would be awesome.
But it's J.J. Abrams. You won't get an extended version, I think.
I can hope.
That's true. That's, you know what? That's true.
Yeah. I think you're right, but I can hope. I feel there could have been a little more. It was a great film as it was. I'm not complaining. I think it's a fine cut and everything. But
has anybody read the novelization so far?
No, but I heard it's got some really interesting story details.
I'm very interested in it. But I haven't ordered it yet because it's Christmas and I don't know if my son will presented to me.
Ah, I see. Well, I'll tell you what, if one of us reads it, it's something to talk about on what we've been up to since last time on the main cast. That would be kind of awesome to cover, even though it's not horror. I think Star Wars transcends genre, so I think it's perfectly fine. I'm not sure Rebecca would feel the same way, but
you're talking about the main cast in on January 8th, 6 or 7 hour cast.
No, we can't. we're going to have to kind of. I'll be talking about that in our closing section coming up. But we're going to have to try and cut it down a little. Otherwise, it'll be all what we watched and no film. We'll wind it up here. We are the main United Nations Horrorcast will be back in early January, and as Dia alluded to, we're going to have a pretty long what we've been watching section, and then we're covering the movie The Last Shift from 2014. We would love to hear your thoughts about Star Wars or anything horror related, of course. Please email your messages in written or MP3 format to unitednationsofhorror@gmail.com. As always, we invite you to join us on the show. Just send us an email about a topic you'd be interested in, or check out our website for all the latest podcast articles, reviews at unitednationsofhorror.wordpress.com. We've also got a Facebook group, which will be in the show notes of this show. And I'd like to thank Dia and Mike for joining me today. And for all their contributions, thank you guys.
No problem, you.
Yeah, happy to do it.
Okay, have a very Merry Christmas and New Year, and I'm sure we'll talk again next year. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
See you.